Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. We're proud of our history. West Ham United.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Shit podcast, cutting out already.
Is it?
Yep.
The music did, but it does that every week.
I think the music does. Oh, always does. It? Does. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I
don't. Well,
yeah.
I apologise for last week, then, Sean. And then if you fuck
yeah,
up.
Yeah, sorry. I cheated internet last week, and our new ring relies on internet. So I'm using a 5G hotspot. It doesn't cause you cancer. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't cause COVID. 5G is the way of the future.
What's a hotspot? Not.
Not a hotspot. Not doesn't work, does it?
Never mind.
I went to see that live.
We should swiftly move on.
Yeah, we should.
Did you really?
It was very funny.
Tom,
Barrymore.
Tom, middle or bottom?
Yeah, no, it was middle, please.
Oh, talking of that, hey. Rusty B, DJ Rusty B wants to come on the show. We need to have a vote. Whether we're going to let him on the show. What do yay say? Is it a yay or a nay? First of all, from you, Len.
I don't mind, it's already been on. We've done a propaganda with him.
Oh, did we?
He's a fucking attention whore. Let hang him out a little bit.
Let him wait. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to introduce you. Back by popular. Where are you? What are you doing, Kennington Len?
I'm in my studio working on a pitch, staring outside at the pouring
rain. Can you say
rain.
What your pitch is for? Or not?
No, not yet. No, cool. Not for sharing in a minute. I'm sure everyone's going to see it because
it's high profile. And then back by popular demand from his sabbatical, it's almost like he never left. Nigel Khan, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm on sabbatical in the shed.
Well done. So, thank
you.
We lost a football match. I'm in mourning. I must admit, I am in mourning.
No, we didn't. No,
we drew.
Did. No, we didn't.
No,
we
drew
lost it on penalties. We lost I know the it's a lottery. I know it's a coin. It still hurts. It still hurts today. We're recording this on
Monday. Toss, what was you going to say?
Toin toss, yeah. Coin toss. It hurts. It really does hurt.
Does it?
Well, it's like West Ham, right? You think West Ham haven't got a chance, and then they build your hopes up and they knock you down. So here we go. Gareth Southgate. We start against who did we start against? Croatia. And we win and we get a little hopes up. And then we play Scotland. We play shit and we draw and we think, oh Christ. And then we play
See
Ukraine.
They're right there. I'll stop you there right now.
Yeah.
You are part of the English problem.
I'm sure I am, yeah. Let
you
me
beat
finish,
Croatia
though.
1-0, you think we're going to win it,
yeah?
You draw with Scotland, tough game, and all of a sudden England's a shit.
Yeah, then roller coaster, right? We win 4-0 and I think, this is in the bag now, right? And then I get a bit nervous because then we're against Germany, but we play shit Germany, and those people who thought it was a shit Germany go, well, it's a shit Germany, so it doesn't really count. We're going to lose against Denmark because they've got this omen because of Christian Eriksen having a heart attack. And then we beat Denmark and we're in the final. And then at the start of yesterday's final, I think, do you know what? Italy's a lot better team. We could get spanked here. So I start worrying about that. Then we go 1-0 up over 2 minutes. So I'm really high again. I'm in my West Ham mode going, oh, we could win this. We get 65 minutes. I'm thinking, there's only 25 minutes to go before we can be crowned European champions. This is in the bag. Wallop, goal goes in. And I'm going, this is going to penalties. And if it goes to penalties, we're losing. I knew it. I wanted one team to win it in normal time. I hate penalties. I hate English penalties. And I think it could have gone either way. I know people say, oh, well, the best team won in the end because they were slightly more offensive. We had a really good first half. They had a really good second half. And I'm genuinely disappointed. It was a once in a lifetime. You know, 1966, 2 years before I was born. So I didn't get to see West Ham win the World Cup. I've missed out seeing England and Declan Rice win the European and the Euros. And I'm not sure I'm going to see it again in my lifetime. There you go. I've finished my monologue. I know you don't feel the same way, Nigel.
No, it's not that I don't feel the same way. It's not that I don't buy into this. Yeah, I want England to win it. I really do want to see England win something. But I appreciate the fact that that's our second final in history. Italy were in their 14th.
Yeah.
Now, Italy won their 6th trophy. Therefore, they've lost 8 finals. And to get where we want to be...
Oh, you're not
going to
do this. You've got to lose a few finals before you win one, are you?
No, but it's not that you've got to lose it. It's that when this is only the second final, you've got to be so proud of what we achieved. Don't look down at it. Don't be disappointed. Yeah, it goes to penalties and everything.
You said the same about Man City, didn't you? You said the same about Man City with the Champions League final.
I don't remember talking about Man City Champions League final.
Which when you were on sabbatical.
Was Man City in the Champions League final?
Yeah, they were.
Were they? All right. Well,
Chelsea versus Man City. Do you not remember?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, you know, that's true, but Chelsea had been there and won it. And yeah. That is the thing. It's all about Big Mac's experience. If you look back at England, we haven't got that experience. I mean, this is the first time where in two tournaments running, we've gone to two semi-finals. Also, when you look at this squad, generally when we've got to a semi-final, we've then lost players. So 1990, we got the semi-final. We lost, I think, Terry Butcher retired. Shilton went out of the defence. So you had people going. If you look at this squad, this squad can still be there in November in Qatar next year.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, there's so much positivity to look forward to that we've just got to take it on the chin. And say, you know, I'm really damn proud of the way that England conducted itself. We didn't lose a game in the championships, not even in extra time. Yeah, all we ever lost was a lottery penalty shootout, and
we conceded two goals.
The only thing I hope they'd learn from it, yeah, in the whole tournament, the only thing I hope they can learn is that when you go through the whole tournament, penalty shootouts,
yeah.
Those that run up and stutter do generally miss more than they score. Where those that do it the old-fashioned way, run up and smash it, generally do score. So this is what I don't get. I get it's a
was Gareth Southgate right to,
thing and
to
everything.
Bang a couple of youngsters on to take penalties. I mean, why didn't he get Sterling to take it? I mean, Rashford
no, see, and this is all ifs and buts. It's all about people that step forward. You've got to have the bottle. And I don't
but
accuse
Sterling
those
and Grealish
that didn't take
both said they wanted to take a penalty afterwards.
Right, but then Gareth Southgate, chosen. For whatever reason,
he said it was
has chosen it this way.
He has.
They must have practiced it in training. The big match, though, and this is where I think Gareth has got it wrong. He's failed to take into consideration the temperament of, you know, realistically, Sterling should have been going up in the fifth, not a 19-year-old. No disrespect. Yeah. Who taking, you know, practice penalties. Once you're in that pressure cooker situation where he's walked up and he knows if he misses, we've lost. Yeah. That is the worst.
A lot on your shoulders,
you know,
isn't it?
The others at the fullback, if we miss, then he might, you know, Pickford might get me out of trouble. How good was Pickford? I mean, look
amazing.
At that goal.
Amazing.
He saved it, pushes it onto the post, could have gone anywhere, and it just felt their play. And one thing is, nobody's picked this up whatsoever. The flick on at the header come off the bloke's arm.
Yeah, I did see
that. When you look as he takes the corner, he hits it to the front. I swear it flicks his arm as it goes in. Before the, I think it was Bonucci. But the Italian that heads it, which Pickford saves, pushes onto the post, and then Bonucci runs in and scores.
It still hurts today. Before we move on to Len and his thoughts, Declan Rice, let's bring it back to West Ham. 72 minutes. Yeah. One of the, probably, my view, the best performances made all tournament. He started all seven, or is it eight? I can't remember, but he started every game.
Seven.
And probably his best performance. And I was a bit surprised Gareth pulled him off. I know you're going to say, well, he wanted to bring on Jordan Henderson to have a little bit more attacking, but Henderson was shit when he came on. And I think the commentator said this, Declan Rice gave everything. You know, he ran the pitch. I think I saw some stats today. First in tackles, first in interceptions, first on everything. I thought it was... I know it's a squad game, but it's a bit harsh to take
Do you know what? Honestly, I think this five-substitute malarkey, even three, but I know we're stuck with three, I think it muddies the water.
It did a bit.
I think there's you could have too many changes.
Yeah.
And everything else. And I know he only made three
two at
the
end
game.
To bloody take the. Yeah. You know, if we didn't have those two, could we have won the penalty shootout? If, as you say, it would have been Grealish or Sterling.
I understand why he did it, because what he's brought on, he's brought Sancho on, and Rashford. But I think Rashford does that for hold up. Rashford does that with his penalty. The thing about Rashford is, his silly run-up did send the keeper the
wrong
way.
But he's cold, isn't he? He's come straight off the bench. He hasn't warmed up. Is that? I don't know. Is that something good for penalties? Just come straight off the bench?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. But look, and this is the thing. I'm not Gareth Southgate. I don't train these players. I don't see what they do. You know, if I thought my way was right, you know, I'd have got on a bit of football coach, and I never got anything near it. So it's just sanding off and whatever. You have to put your faith in the professionals. It's horrible.
Supporting England is like supporting West Ham. I often say that. You know, it's.
But then I'll prepare for the worst. And also, it's only the Euros, isn't it? It ain't the World Cup. Now, and I meant that, honestly, when I text. If it was a World Cup or if it was the FA Cup final, believe me, I'd be nervous nearly.
Euros is sometimes harder than World Cup, I'd say.
I think the Euros are harder to win.
Yeah, they are, because you've only got Brazil and Argentina for the rest of the world. No disrespect to the rest of the world, but really, outside of Europe.
You just disrespected them. What about South Korea? They kick ass these days.
Oh, come on. Anyway, that's a good link. That's a good link. Are you crying into your beer? Have you been sulking? Have you been crying? Have you had tantrums today, Len?
You know I haven't.
I know, I spoke to earlier.
I'm not too emotionally involved in England.
You said that. You weren't too emotionally attached to England. Why is that?
I can't explain. It might be because it was one of the things I used to watch my dad and he's not about anymore. So the experience ain't quite the same. Don't have that togetherness with everybody else. I'm more of an isolated person these days and I don't really have the feel for the...
Did you watch it with a cleaner?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Was it just you and the cleaner, or did you go to a sports bar?
It was,
bar?
Yeah. No.
What was your tipple last night?
I think I had a lager.
Do you know what? I've got a little confession to make, and I think it's why we lost.
You had Italian wine, didn't you?
Come on,
you.
I was drinking Peroni.
Oh.
And I had some pasta, like a pasta salad as well.
That's peasant's lager in Italy, Peroni, apparently.
It was a lovely pasta salad. It had watermelon in it as well. It's a very nice touch to have a pasta salad.
It's funny, we wouldn't eat pizza last night, so we ordered kebab, even though it was a bit funny, because we used the kebab shop to get pizzas from, and considering they're Turkish, it weren't like, you know, but yeah. It was the fault that counts. We went English.
What did you do? Did you just go, oh no, what shame, let's watch the news now. Then, or were you a little bit, you must have had some, oh shit.
My
wife,
I was disappointed. Listen, I don't really want to point fingers at people, but I'm going to go back to Southgate again.
Cool.
I thought we had the best squad in the Euros, and the three penalty takers that missed are a good illustration why I think we got the best squad, because let's add Grealish to that as well. You got four players who like to run with the ball. Now, you could have brought Grealish on in the hour when we were under the cosh to have a bit more of the ball and do the running forward that only Declan Rice was doing, and he took him off and you brought on Henderson, who clearly wasn't going to take a penalty because you took him off. So for me, not because they missed the penalty, but they were one of them three players, and I think it should have been Grealish, should have been brought on earlier. And I think, once again, like the Scotland game, he could have brought on the more attacking player, and I think somewhat he's got too much loyalty to his players, I think, a little bit. The ones that are already out on the pitch. He needs to show that he engineers a game. I don't think he did that. And by the time the penalties come round,
I mean, everyone was shouting Grealish, weren't they? Even like people, I watched a programme the other day and go, what we really like is, you know, people who don't know anything about football suddenly become experts, go, put Grealish on, play him in the hole. You go, you know nothing about football.
Yeah.
It's true.
Is that what you were saying, Sean?
Huh?
Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bring on Grealish, play him in the hole.
By the time the penalties come round, I thought the party line was, you can't recreate the atmosphere of the big moment. But he bypassed that. He'd already picked his players. And for him to go through what he'd done in Euro 96 and bring on Sancho and Saka, Rashford. I'm not giving Rashford any excuse for that penalty at all, actually.
No.
He can live with that. Because it's a dickhead's penalty. Plain and simple. Every West Ham fan knows what a good penalty is. I'll tell you who gave a good example of it. The Man United player with a big head, whose name I always forget. Red Dog. Biscuit Tin. What's his name? Defender. Anyway, smashed it in the top right.
Oh, Maguire. Right. Yeah.
That's how you take a penalty. That's how you take a penalty. I don't know what the other three were doing, but I'm afraid that is part of football. Putting the ball in the net, which is what a penalty is a long and short of how the game is won. And until you accept that, until you relish to do it, because I know, if we'd have left Rice on, Rice would have wanted to take a penalty. We'd have run through a fucking brick.
That would have worried me. That really would have worried me.
But so would the Grealish. You would have took one. You'd have had Kane and Maguire. I would have took one. And you could have picked Sterling.
Sterling, maybe.
I know he's a shit penalty taker. But come off the hour, the men have got to step up. It's time for heroes.
Kane took a really good penalty after messing up the other day, although you can say he didn't mess up because he got it on the follow-up. Anyway,
the penalties. Go on, also.
During the game, Kane was getting a lot of praise for typically playing, coming a bit deeper and sort of playing a number nine role. But in the sense of the occasion, everyone forgot to know. Well, I don't think everyone forgot to notice. I certainly didn't notice. But, I'm terrible with names. terrible podcast for me. Is the boy plays for Chelsea,
Mason Mount.
Yeah, he was having a fucking terrible day.
He was having a bad game, yeah.
And why ain't he coming off for Grealish?
He didn't get pulled off, did he?
Sterling didn't play great either.
Nope, had an awful game.
You can't stand there. This is what I'm saying. You can't stand there and show so much faith to your players when you've got such a good deep squad there.
Yeah.
He can only look at himself, Southgate. And listen,
I don't say this very often, but I agree with you, Len.
There you go.
I've still got it, and it's still been a dire day. I mean, it doesn't help that there's torrential rain, flooding, lightning, and thunder. You know, at least
where
if
you
you're going to lose, yeah, at least if you're going to lose, it could be a sunny day and you get out. But no, it's been torrential rain and shit all day.
I mean, yeah, the thing with Declan Rice is, and it's the thing you said, worry. If you look at the goals Declan scored, they've all been smashed in. Long range efforts. His first goal against Arsenal, long range. He's had a couple of more where he's hit them. And I mean, he can hit a ball. And this is the thing. We're led to believe that they have practiced penalty taking. And I'd imagine with Gareth Southgate that he would have done, having been what he's been through. And actually, he's a very, you know, he's a thinking man's coach. So he and plans to the detail. So, and you could tell he planned for the detail, the fact that he brought them two on them to have penalties. So he must have had it all planned out and everything else. The only thing what you can't plan is the player's mentality. The only thing is that I would say is there's got to be a way of coaching penalty takers, bearing in mind that trophies and England have suffered more than probably any other country in not getting the finals for penalty shootouts. It's got to be a coaching way of coaching people to take penalties. If you want to watch, you could show them, if you look at our penalty takers from probably John Bond, he smashed them. Jeff Hurst smashed them. I don't know who took them after Jeff Hurst. I think Billy Bonds might have done. But Ray Stewart, he smashed them. Oh. Julian Dix,
Julian smashed them.
Yeah, the only one that don't really smash him that's got a fantastic Noble. Record is Mark Noble. Yeah. But he picks his place and puts it there. But he don't do that skippy run up and all that tippy toes and everything. And this is like a modern penalty way. Saka didn't do that. But what Saka did was a two-step penalty run up. You got to start. You want to see penalties, get the German penalties from 96... against Seaman and get the German penalties from 1990, all top corner, run up top corner, run up top corner, run up, and you got to coach them every time you got them together, coach them so they're like robots. Everybody, the Germans will have 10, you know, or 8-9 players that can run up, and you just got to hit the top corner. It ain't that hard.
Yeah,
and if you look at it, Sancho penalty, great height for the goalkeeper. Saka's penalty, great height for the goalkeeper. Why? Because their run-up, it's not giving them the ability to get height and power behind it. It's, you know, there is a way to do, you know, there's got to be a way where we get past this English thing. Because it does say, I mean, that's the first final that's gone to penalties in the Euros. Well, I call the modern era, which is from 1980, because that was the first tournament style for the Euros. 76 went to penalties, Czechoslovakia, West Germany, but that was done where it was just semi-finals and finals. So you qualified. And
there were teams in it, weren't there?
There was less. What they did was is that they had qualification, but only four teams went to the tournament. They had the two semis and the final. So 1980 in Italy was, I think that was eight teams, and then they upped it to 16. I mean, in 4 years' time, or 3 years' time.
Yeah, 3 years' time.
I believe it's in Germany.
It is.
You know, how good would that be to go and win it there?
You'll be pleased about that, because you'd probably like Germany more than you do England.
No, not true. You can throw that at me as much as you like, but you've got no evidence to back it up. So,
yeah. Anyway.
And be careful when you call me a sausage muncher, because it could come across the wrong way in the wrong group.
You know what? I was offered a ticket for $3,250 for one of the cheap seats. A tout offered me one of the best seats for $5,500. The people who paid that probably gutted. One person we know, one of our listeners, one of our eight listeners, was Ian Dale, who went. Do we know who invited him?
No, I don't know.
No, he kept that quiet.
Well, you know,
but he was there. We saw him. He sent us a picture with his mask on. Would have been a late night for him.
They looked to be more than 60,000, yeah, obviously.
Well, you saw those people who rushed the gates. Ian told us that, and also we saw the videos afterwards.
I mean, that, I don't know. When you look at it, the organisation seemed...
well, did you hear the software failed as well? See, talking about West Ham, it would be so London Stadium. The software failed, and they couldn't. Some of the people couldn't get through the turnstiles. Talking of that, and moving on a bit, did you see the Telegraph story about the London Stadium?
Yeah, you need to explain that.
I do actually, because they didn't explain it very well. So what they talked about is £34 million of taxpayers' money is going to be spent on the London Stadium in the next 4 years. Now, that's sort of true, but it's not the whole picture. So West Ham already pay about £3.25 million in rent. It's gone up. It's index linked and various other things. It's not 2.5 anymore. But still, so they only pay about 125 whatever per game. Now, we've always paid for the stewards. The taxpayers have been paying for the stewards' difference for the last 5 years. So saying that we're paying £20 million for the stewards is nothing new. The business case that E20 and London Stadium 185 did was that stewards would cost like £300,000 a year. Now, that was a really stupid thing to do. The size of the park, the size of the stadium means it takes well over 1,000 stewards, and it's not cheap. You need some of them up there for 8 hours. So it's costing over £200,000, according to this, in stewards, and West Ham are paying 125. Now, as well as stewards, you've got, you know, all the other running costs, you know, to heat, light, you know, cleaning, everything else. That's just the steward costs alone, which seems phenomenal. It just beggars belief how we pay or they pay over £200,000 a match for stewarding. But you know, that's not a new problem. The other story, and slightly disingenuous, is that the owners are looking to spend £14.5 million converting the West Stand. Now, before we all get excited and everything, the stadium spent around £4.5 million converting the North and the South Stand. West Ham made a small contribution. Now, for those of you who think, oh, taxpayers moving us close to the pitch, not true. The main business case is, it's a lightweight material with easier to move. It will pay for itself. And West Ham had to sign off on it. So straightening the stands, moving them close, was actually a business case to reduce the cost of moving. What's the next biggest cost of moving? It's the West Stand. The East Stand will always stay in place, and it does for music concerts and athletics. So the West Stand is the last stand remaining. And they want to do the same. They want to square it off a bit, and they want to put this lightweight material that's going to be easier to move. To get West Ham to agree to it and maybe chuck in a few quid. But West Ham say, very early stages, hasn't been signed off yet, so let's not get too excited. So I haven't found it yet, but this will be in a budget document for the, you know, the Greater London Authority or London Legacy Development Corporation somewhere. Or in the budget of etc. But let's not get too excited. Those who think, no, you know, we're going to move it all forward.
Logistically, it's got a long way to go. Yeah. Logistically, you've got the West Stand, obviously, with the curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So's the East Stand.
Yeah.
Now, if you straighten that, you've got to straighten the back as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what that does is creates a far bigger gap.
Yeah,
now, the thing about the West Stand is it creates a bigger gap between the boxes and the lower tier. The boxes who pay more money than anybody, are they, plus also, it where it straightens it, it moves it up to the pitch. Will the rake affect the sight line? Because the boxes are quite low down.
Yeah.
So I'm not, I mean, I'm not a structural engineer or anything, but the one thing, the reason why it was all curved and everything was obviously so they could keep the circle and it was supposed to be moving bits, but it was just moving it forward and back. But also, because of the sight lines with the lower tier, because if you look at the lower tier of the where the boxes are, it's sort of like a middle tier that only exists in the West Stand. You get away with it behind the goals because there's no one in that middle tier bit. I think when fans go in that sit upstairs and look at the back of the new straightened off stands, they're going to see bloody big gaps even further. The one thing I've never understood, I get it, they're spending 60, you know, what's it cost? Say it costs them £20 million. How much does it save them? How long does it take?
I don't know. My club insider sent me a message today just to clarify it. While it's not confirmed if government will pay all the costs for the new stands, club continuing to explore and deliver further enhancements for supporters. Quote unquote.
Yeah. I mean, it is laughable when the club come out with that, because at the end of the day, we know the straightening off of the stands was not the club wanting to enhance the spectator things. It was the people going, well, this saves us money.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, they've had it done and not had to bloody move it anyway. Cause
yeah, COVID. That's
I'll
hilarious.
Tell you what,
do you know
they'll
what?
Save more money.
16 and a half COVID. Million. I've just been reading the account. 16 and a half million
go.
Has been saved by not moving.
Yeah.
And not
they're
having.
They're going to rue the day they let fans
by
back
not
in.
Having. Not yeah. paying for stewards. Right? Not yeah. paying for stewards. Not moving the stands has saved £16.5 million. And they write it in their accounts like, you know, it's exceptional. We've outperformed the savings due to the pandemic of not playing, not getting stewards and not moving the. Hilarious.
The thing about these costs...
there is a story, actually. I haven't
with
even
stewards,
written
well, I
Hume.
Just want to highlight one thing, is that the thing about the costs with the steward, the match day costs, that people really need to listen to, just to understand, is it shows why West Ham do not want to own the stadium. Because if West Ham own the stadium, they have to bear the brunt of the costs.
Yeah.
So...
more than just park costs exclusive. Guess who's suing the stadium providers now? Stadium owners now.
The stadium owners now. Probably is it
the mayor?
No, he owns
E185.
No, they no E185.
Heineken.
No.
Newham Council.
Delaware North.
No, they have been suing them in the past, but not at the moment.
Oh, right.
Westfield.
I don't know.
No, you're getting closer. What did that? What usually happens in July?
Oh,
UK
Athletics.
Olympics.
They're suing. They're suing.
Anniversary
so
games.
There's a new. Yeah. There's a new court case, and it's actually in the account saying litigation. And I asked West Ham. I said, "What is it?" He said, "But it's not us. It's UK Athletics. UK Athletics are suing the stadium owners for £3 million because to cover costs of." Holding athletics elsewhere because they refuse to move the stands just for athletics. There you go.
Well, they've got every right to, haven't they?
Really? Well, I guess so. They've got a contract,
breach
haven't
contract.
They?
Yeah.
I guess even a £3 million is probably cheaper to be sued for £3 million rather than move them for £4.5 million, I think. Is it £4 or £4.5 million?
I don't know. Well, why not just give them the £3 million then?
Well, because they love to spend money on lawyers. You know how much they've spent on lawyers? Well over that. Millions of pounds. Anyway, it's not a public service podcast or a taxpayers podcast. It is a West Ham podcast. And we did play the mighty Dundee. We talked about the England game. We didn't talk about the Dundee game. Did you see it, Nigel?
No, I was out all day.
I had it on my phone while I was working in my kitchen.
And Len, you didn't see it?
No, I didn't, no.
You didn't miss a lot. Here's the hilarious thing, right? Loads of people... So Dundee had the rights, and you might find this at the game tomorrow with Northampton. And so they
Cobblers.
Sold...
Cobblers.
The Cobblers, yeah.
Leighton Orient, isn't it?
Leighton Orient, and yeah, the O's and the Cobblers. Double header, simultaneous kickoff. So we played Dundee, they had the rights, they were selling it pay-per-view for £5. One person, I was listening to the Irons United, paid £15, kept on buying it, still didn't get it. Anton paid £5. Half the time it didn't work. Thank God for, and this is how I watched it.
Football streams, isn't it?
Well, that it started off the first half, but then that went, and when we moved on to, is it called Snitch? It's not called Snitch, is it?
Twitch.
Twitch, that's it. Twitch. Showing my age. Twitch. I watched the second half on Twitch, and it was really good. Yeah, FB Stream 1 on Twitch. That was the only reliable thing to watch it on, to be honest. Dundee website failed, unfortunately. Even if you paid a fiver, it wasn't very reliable. But Twitch was reliable throughout. Lot of talk about Issa Diop, who did play. He's been training on his own. Masuaku's also been training on his own. Been told neither of them are injured, but have their own individual training programs, whatever that means. Sounds like they're nursing a condition. Philippe Anderson was still in Scotland, sitting there looking very, I don't know if you saw the picture, looking very, very isolated and forlorn. He's supposed to be going to Rome, back to Lazio, but on Saturday night he was still in Mayfair in a restaurant. I'm told he's still not flying out. Today's Monday. He's either flying out late this evening, tomorrow morning, or Wednesday at the latest. He's got to isolate for 5 days. And only after then we might do a deal. Somewhere between 2.3 million. Some people say it could be 3.5 million. Some people say it wipes out what we owe them. I worked out, and this is not from inside knowledge, if we did buy him for 34 million, which is the accepted amount of money we bought him from Lazio in 2018, we usually, 4-year deal, we split it into four. 8.5 million up front, it would be 8.5 million July 2019, 8.5 million in July 2020, which means it's due another 8.5 million this month. That's the way it usually works. It can be slightly different, but usually it's equal instalments over the life of the contract. So it could be that we've paid out, or we're about to pay $8.5 million, and we get $2.5 million back. But, you know, he is on $4.5 million wages. I suppose we can bag that as a saving. Len, sorry to see Anderson go.
No, not at all.
No? Time right?
No.
A lot of people say bad deal, selling them for so cheap. But, you know, after such a bad performance in Porto, you've got to take anything, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Nigel?
Sorry, say that again. I was reading something else.
Anderson, right choice to sell him for a couple of million quid to get him off the wage bill?
I thought we was giving him away to get him the wages.
No, it's about €3 million, apparently. He's getting a 4-year contract. He's taking a slight...
Well, look, there's two ways of looking at it. Yeah, very quickly. So there's the way of looking at it that he's a player who obviously Moyes doesn't want.
Yeah.
His wages are high. So we could do with getting his wages off the books. We get a bit of money in for him. And it suits the player, suits the club. Moyes can move
well,
on.
Well, the player took a long time to decide, and that's what's been the hold up. I was told, right. Yeah, the club, two clubs did a deal a long time ago. Well, a long time ago, a week and a bit ago. The player needed convincing because he was taking a pay cut. Who wants to take a pay cut?
Indicative of the way this football club's run and why, aside from the good season last year, we've been in a mess for years prior to these owners, but these owners were supposed to change the way we did stuff and they've just continued on the same path, is that in 3 years we've took a £36 million player and turned him into someone we're lucky to get free.
We won't quibble over $2 million.
Yeah, and turned him into someone. We've took someone who was lauded as bordering world class, was in the Brazilian squad when he arrived.
Why didn't it work in Porto then?
Well, no. I'm not no. But what I'm saying is, it's the indicative of the way that we did business.
That's a Pellegrini. Oh right, I got you. Yeah.
Well, no. And this is the thing, right? And you go, this is a Pellegrini and whatever. At the end of the day, when the owners are hands on in the transfer market, right? They sign off on it.
Yeah,
the buck stops with them. Yeah, they can do it a different way. They went down that route. They signed off on it when they bought the club. They gave a statement where we spent too long buying players for big money, putting them on big wages that don't deliver. You know, we'll put a stop to that. Well, no, they haven't. In fact, they've continued on that path for years, making it worse. Now, just because recently that's changed, we need to see a continuation of that change. But if anything sums up their ownership, it's their ability to take players like Anderson and turn them into worthless.
Yeah, a bit like Allaire and...
You know, and... Well, no, that's what I'm saying. We could go through a whole list.
Well, Yarmolenko. I mean, the next one
players.
Is Yarmolenko.
Yeah, next one's Yarmolenko.
So, you know, Domino's... Turkey. Fibonacci are looking
but,
to...
You know, hey-ho, I'm a bald lover now because obviously they've bought my lover.
I heard
lover.
That.
But
Yarmolenko, you know, Yarmolenko's
on the payroll, I heard.
Yarmolenko's problem is, you know, I know he's reported to be on 115 grand a week, which I
thought he was on 150.
No, he's. I
because Declan Rice got offered money and he still weren't going to be the highest paid
Yarmolenko
player.
Certainly, look, I hear Yarmolenko's on around six-figure sum, very low six-figure sum, around the 100 mark, but he's not 115. But he is one of the highest paid players, and that's the problem, you know. Trying to move him on to Turkey or back to the Ukraine Premier League is difficult on those kind of wages. And what he's in his last year, why should he take a pay cut of 50%? You know, if we take it to our own jobs, it's all well and good saying it, but you know, someone goes, yeah, it's not really working. So I know we've got a contract and everything, but I want you to take a 50% pay cut to work at one of our competitors. And you go, piss off.
No, listen, we give out the contracts, we pay the wages. This is the problem across the board, realistically, for the Premier League. Is that the just pay the money brigade, as I like to call them, fail to understand is that when you put players on 150, 160 grand, the blokes that are there, lower down, that are earning 40 to 50 grand, are going to be going, hold up, he's only twice the player I am, not three times. So if he's on 150 grand, I want 75 grand. All of a sudden, your wage bill will begin to spiral out of control.
I'm glad you said that, because earlier today, one of my very good friends, West Ham Central, wrote, pay Declan Rice what he deserves. And I wrote back, he didn't reply, but others did. What does he deserve? 250 grand a week, ? It's not about wages. We can't guarantee Premier League or Champions League, Premier League champions or playing in the Champions League. And therefore, all the money in the world doesn't automatically keep him. It's not just about that. And then you get that knock-on effect. But guess what? I was going, GSB fanboy. Someone came in, GSB fanboy. That's probably the biggest defeatist post ever. It's not defeatist. It's realistic. At some point, Declan Rice is going to leave us. And is it worth upsetting the apple cart, paying him 250 grand a week or 200 grand a week or whatever? You know, people just don't have any realisation. They just go, pay him what he deserves. Well, what does he deserve? What can West Ham? West Ham in the past have set a ceiling of £115,000 a month. A week. And even... Hernandez Chicharito did not earn over that. He had a basic, and then he could earn over that, could get to that famous reported 145. But they've been loyal to that ceiling. Now, my understanding is they are prepared to break that ceiling by some considerable distance. Right? I'm not going to give a figure because I get in trouble for giving figures. But they prepared and they put on a figure to make him the highest played West Ham player ever. And that's not been agreed. That's not a rejection. That's just not an agreement. But at what point do we say, yeah, have 200 grand. Have 250 grand. Have 300 grand. Have 400 grand. At what point does he deserve or is the limit for West Ham? I don't know the answer, by the way. I'm just saying a club like West Ham has to have a wage structure. And that includes Declan Rice. I'm sorry.
But no matter how great have wage structures. If you look, it's only the likes of, it's probably four clubs that pay massive money. I don't think Arsenal,
City, United,
Chelsea
and Liverpool. You're right, because I tell you what, that's Spurs, for all their moaning, do have a very strict wage structure.
And Arsenal. Arsenal. Well, I mean, apart from Ozil, I know Arsenal under Wenger. You know, they were very stringent. I mean, Wenger was the man who, once you got to 30, he didn't care who the bloody hell you was. Even Thierry Henry, you only get a 1 year contract.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard. The social media now is such a great communication tool for a club to see what its fan base is thinking, but sometimes you do hope that they don't act upon.
So let me ask you a question, right? I'm going to ask Len the same. How much would you pay Declan Rice, knowing how valuable it is to it? You're David Sullivan, senor. How much are you going to pay Declan Rice? I'm coming to you. Don't you laugh, Len, because I'm coming to you next.
I would make him the highest paid player in the club's history, considering we're off the back of the best season that we've had. But money is tight. I know the club has still got... And this is the thing. I don't think any footballer should earn more than 40 grand a week. Because let's get this right.
But let's get back to real world. Because he's real world. That already. How much would you pay him? Stop waffling.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I don't know enough about the finances. I'd be looking. I wouldn't be paying him. I don't think West Ham can afford 150 grand a week. And it ain't that they can't afford Declan Rice 150 grand a week. It's that everybody else is going upon a pay rise as well. So
what
therefore,
would you pay him then?
I'd have to know the finance. I'm 120 grand a week.
Okay, fair enough. Len?
Not more than that. Yeah, I don't think we
can. I was thinking 120. Look, between £100,000 and £250,000, won't change his lifestyle. So, you just need to show him he's the most important player at the club by having him paid the most. And from what I understand it, that's what the offer's been.
Yeah, I would pay him more than what you two said. Not much more, but I'd pay him more. I would heavily incentivise it on bonuses. And in some ways, you know, and let's be realistic, right? He's not going to be with us for the next 5 years. So if we give him a 6-year contract on, let's say, 150 grand a week, he ain't going to be here for 5 years, is he? Right,
this is obscene figures we're talking about, by the way.
It is, but it's reality.
This is what I don't anyone understand. Can say. Paying the man what he's worth. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
They don't realise.
You're so out of their depth to even talk about something, even talk about the difference of 50 grand a week. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah, I know.
And enjoy your lunch or something.
50 grand a week. When the average wage in a year is what, 30 grand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is obscene. You know,
so therefore...
people need to find something better to do.
Didn't the England players give their money to the NHS or a portion to it to the NHS?
Yeah. I think they donated all the money. I mean, because they'd have got bonuses and everything. Yeah. The thing is, they have got, you know, I suppose they're fortunate in a way. They've got that much money, they can afford to do it. They, you know, back in the day, it would never have happened because they would never on that type of money. But
yeah, old Sir Jeff Hurst there. He was looking very old. Did you see him on the commentary?
Well, he is very old. He's got 76, 77.
Yeah.
Kate Moss was looking all right, though. She wasn't looking too old.
What was she doing there, though?
Yeah, and what were you... old Tom Cruise. our friends on our Facebook group.
Robbie Keane.
Was saying, you know, why is Tom Cruise there with David Beckham taking up a seat for a... he's probably something to do with the FA or something now, Tom Cruise. Anyhow, one bit of good news is...
Eddie Howe, has he gone somewhere then?
The good news is we have a new... He's not a director of football, there is a difference. He's a new head of recruitment. We have recruited Rob Newman, who is an ex-Norwich City player. I think 250 appearances. And
he wasn't that great from what I remember. But
and he played a few other places. He's done a bit of managing and so on and so forth. I can't remember ever. But most recently, he's been a senior scout at Man City. So we've snagged him. He's going to be our new head of recruitment. But unfortunately, obviously Man City see us as real competitors for the Premier League and the Champions League and are forcing him to, instead of compensation, they're forcing him to see out his gardening leave. And so I've seen him post pictures playing golf and everything, but he's not allowed to officially work for us this summer. So unfortunately, we've got a head of recruitment, but at the moment, he can't come into the office or work for us. Maybe he could have the sly conversation, but obviously, he can't negotiate and everything else. But apparently...
Is this part of David Moyes' team, or is this part of club's organisation?
It's an interesting discussion. And I believe the idea is the... head of recruitment will be not report to David Moyes, but David Moyes will not report to him, which happens sometimes in but and here's a big but, the list will come from David Moyes and they work closely together and the manager will get final say. So, you know, he is head of recruitment but probably reporting to David Sullivan. David Sullivan will completely, after this summer, I'm told, take a back seat and not be involved in negotiations of contracts and new players. And then that will be down to Rob Newman. So it's a good... And together with, you know, David Moyes Jr. And you've got, obviously, David Hunt in the academy. And you've got... I forget the other guy who's been the single. You know, it's good they're investing in a number of, you know... We're starting to see a little bit of structure coming into the club. But of course, everybody's giving grief that he's on gardening leave. Like, only happens to West Ham. They've done it so they can't spend the money. And yes, I know we're still not signed anyone of substance beyond the kid players and the Craig Dawson. But it will come. It will come. I still understand that it's a centre back, Jesse Lingard, and a striker. I know there's been a lot of talk about the PSG keeper. What's his name? Abeloa?
Areola, isn't it?
Areola. Look, I've been told.
When you Google that.
Yeah, I've not been told an out and out is not. But I've been told a goalkeeper. I've been continually told, right? I've asked about, Sam Johnson, goalkeeper's not a priority. Then I asked about the Czech Republic, goalkeeper's not a priority. I can't keep on going back on every goalkeeper. But my understanding is, because I've been told several times, a goalkeeper's not a priority. I think Fab is going to be number one. I think Randolph is a good backup, number two. Obviously, David Martin signed another one. Anang went off to Stevenage or whatever. We've got Dathan Trott, who went out to Scotland as a number four and a backup. I just don't see it as a priority till next summer. And I might be wrong, but I just don't see it happening. And I know lots of people are getting excited and going, But, unfortunately, there's stories every day. And I think we denied one this morning. There was a story by Football Insider. And I'm trying to remember it. It was about a centre-back. I don't go to the club on everything saying, is this true, is this true? Because that would take it for ages. But there was one called Naif Aguirre from, who's a central defender for 16 million quid. And we asked, he's a Monaco star, where is he? 25-year-old centre-back. We asked and we were told absolute tosh. So, there's a lot of rubbish out there. And the vacuum, people, stories by agents come around. And you might not like it that there is no news, transfer news, and there's no transfer business. But David Moyes has finished his role as technical observer. The work starts now and hopefully he's going to get some of his targets between now and the start of the summer, summer, the start of the transfer, the start of the Premier League, which starts on what, 16th of August? What else can I say? No transfer news, in other words. Are you worried about the size of the squad, Len?
Not in July, mate. No.
Good. I'm glad to hear you say that. Nigel?
Nah, mate, you know me. At the end of the day, the funny thing is that it's not even about the start of the football seasons. It's where you are on the 1st of September when the transfer window shut.
We all
know that loads of deals get done in the last couple of days.
I make you right. So, well done. We're starting to be more sensible. Yeah, but
what it is because I'm on the payroll now.
Yeah, you are on the payroll.
Obviously, I've got to stick to the payroll line, isn't it? So I've got to stick to the party line now, apparently.
Yeah, apparently it's all
fakely. My past 10, 11 years, it's all been fake and lies.
Phony.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Smoke screen.
Oh, one thing, people, there's a listener out there. You know who you are. I don't. No one likes the grass, people. So if you've got tales to tell, feel free to message me. I'm always open. I ain't got a problem. People want to criticise what I say. It don't bother me. It don't bother me.
East End, grass,
I've got an opinion. People are banned to have a thing. Well,
talking
as I told
East
the
End,
Met Police,
you ask
a lot of questions. You
I need
must
to
be
come up
copper.
With my new magnet. That I go magnet fishing with my son up to the East End rather than... I've heard about
the canals of West London.
You
need to go north or east.
Knives and safes out of the East End. I just get scaffolding poles and keys.
Well, luckily bodies haven't got metal in because I'm sure there's a fair few bodies.
The stories Dirty Den went into fellow magnet fishers. But anyway, right. What else do we want to discuss before we said we're only doing an hour this week because we're still depressed. You've got a couple of questions.
You're
even
depressed.
I'm depressed.
Not either.
Yeah, I know. Is there any other business before we move on to that couple of questions and then we'll do predictions for Cobblers and the O's?
I've got nothing.
No, there's nothing I can.
Ribby, you know, we wanted, we did sort an M&R, and I was the one who wasn't really up for it, and I just said, should we do a question for the should we do a short podcast for the listeners just to keep them going, or can we not be?
Well, while Dodsey's in Singapore, he's got to have something to
listen
to.
Is he in Singapore though?
Well,
he's not really.
Is he not?
He doesn't look like Singapore.
Well, the departure board, it could have been a trick, but the departure board he put up and the flight he was on, Virgin Atlantic, the only Virgin flight on that board was, because that's Virgin Galactic, not Virgin Atlantic, was to Singapore. He's obviously out that way. But you know what Dodsey's like. He's got to have his fun. Even though I did like his sunbathing picture.
That was funny.
I know, Lensit. That was very, very, just the first thing that popped into my head,
wasn't
was Canning Town. Was it the long good summer of Len sunbathing in the film? And I just looked at it, blimey, it was Dodsey with his, all he needed was the West Ham hat. He had the belly and the shorts already.
I didn't think he looked in bad shape. You're doing all right, mate.
Yeah. Anyway, you had a couple of questions that sort of sneaked
it's
through.
Just jealousy because he's retired. No, I've got one, that's all.
Oh, one. Go on then. Go for it. This is the question of the week.
It's from WHU Mark Reaper, who we like to call Kevin. He's put for the pod. Did England get to the final because of the manager or in spite of him? He says, all I see are negative Allardyce-like tactics rebranded by a media darling manager who never gets fair criticism, only the praise. So Mark's not a fan by the sounds of it.
No, I think the manager's got to take some credit. I know what he means. There was a few long balls.
He does have to take credit and responsibility as well.
Yeah, and he did. He came out and said, I take responsibility for losing on penalties. I like Gareth Southgate. I really do.
Good. That'll win us a World Cup.
Good. I'm glad. I hope he gets a... Anyway, anywho.
I mean, to answer Kevin's question... I don't see Allardyce tactics. I don't think Allardyce would play with a front three of like Foden or Sancho or Mason Mount or Kane or Sterling together, Grealish. I think he's still a tad conservative. I think that was bailed out really by the Italy game.
Yeah.
I don't think switching to the back five worked. I thought we should have stuck with the back four, more rigid. And for me, again, Harry Kane's an out-and-out striker. Why are we encouraging to drop deep? I do not know. Yeah. I think we got the players to play 4-4-2. I still believe in that system. Two strikers on the pitch. If football's about goals, playing one striker.
Yeah.
You know, so Len? That's where I'm from. But in Southgate, I trust.
No, I mean... Like I say, he does have to take responsibility and praise, and we should stick with him. I'm not saying that, but...
Knighthood for taking us to a final?
No, fuck off.
Well, see, I like it when you say that. At the end of the podcast, you go, oh, fuck off.
Well, I mean, it's a joke, isn't it? A fucking
last week, what did you say to me last week when you said that to me? When I suggested... I can't remember.
What did you suggest?
Yeah. Anyway.
If he'd have won it, would you have fronted him up a knighthood?
Well, I mean, that's the standard, I suppose.
Yeah,
you'd have to,
it is.
You know.
Anyway.
If Andy Murray can get one for winning Wimbledon, I mean...
True.
Southgate's got to get one for winning...
The... Anyway, we are...
What about the players? Where does it start? I don't...
Exactly. We are at the hour mark, so we're going to do predictions. So I'm going to go back and sulk. So the Cobblers, Northampton, the O's, Orient, Leighton Orient to you. Let's start with you, Len.
I think Orient will beat us.
Oh, really?
I think we'll get a draw. Look, we don't know who's going to play.
No. He's got to split the squad. It's got to be
kids. You can bet your life half of them kids don't even understand the Orient game. Well, and you can bet 11 of the Orient players do.
I'll tell you what, Alves...
Win for Orient.
Alves, Baptiste and Holland all had a really good game against Dundee. Really. The kids had a really good...
The kids are all right.
And that,
you didn't really explain what happened in the Dundee game, though, did you?
I didn't, actually.
It cost a fiver, but 2-2. Someone paid 15 quid.
You're right. I didn't discuss it. So we went 2-0 down. And then Baptiste scored a header from a corner. And then Gerard Bowen was brought down, which was amazing since I thought he'd torn his ACL and was out for the season. But he recovered miraculously. And then converted a penalty. So 2-2. Unbeaten in pre-season friendlies. But it was, as you say, doesn't mean anything. It was just a trot out. Complete trot out. But what's your prediction then, Nigel?
Oh, mate, I'm not even going to bother predicting. It's a pre-season friendly. We could get beat 5-0.
I know, but we always do predictions. It's part, you know, Woody will be upset if we don't follow... You know,
you
it's like me
agenda.
Not mentioning and plugging Claret and Hugh, and you know, they're not plugging that you can still get.
I predict this week no one will go scuttling off and telling other people that I've said stuff I haven't said.
You know, or you plug
can
in,
I predict
you,
that?
You know, canningtown.len.com and your little diary, you know. So, you know, I'm going to go 1-0.
Yeah.
1-0, 1-0. Just to make it easy. Just because I like
tradition. Don't forget, yeah, can you download a copy and send it to Dave so I can stick my chitty in?
What's that? What is that?
He won't know what chitty means.
Chitty is like a bill, isn't it? An invoice or something.
Yeah.
It's like when Dave was talking about lumber the other day. Get lumber expenses. Yard. It's a timber yard, is it not?
Lumber yard, isn't it?
Lumber is what we are when we go football with you.
Anyway, looking forward to being back. Still don't know what the opposition is for the Betway Cup on the 8th of August.
Lazio.
Season tickets. Yeah. If anyone from the club's listening, fucking sort your life out. Right? We having digital tickets or not? You can't just sit there and wait till the end. There's not a lot out. You're making a mockery of the ISC. I know Amers United, are asking you. I'm sure the other people have asked you. Sort it out.
Sort it.
Yeah.
Sort it. Make a decision.
Make a choice. Yeah.
Is this you just trying to put off the scent that you're on the payroll and trying to sound all like manly that you're not on the payroll?
No, this is me actually saying, come on, this is what affects supporters.
Do something.
Do something. Just, do say whatever it is. Do
there's
something.
Nicola Key, sort your ass out. And if any grasses in the club want to go and tell Nicola Key what I said, tell her. Sort your life out.
Talking of that, kit's out this week. So we'll have a launch of the kit. Obviously, it has been leaked on the...
Well, we know what the kit looks like.
Yeah, because we've got pictures. I didn't leak them, though. I know I showed them to you.
Didn't.
But I didn't
No,
leak
the shirt them. Man did. Who's the shirt collector?
Oh,
Who collects the match day shirts? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, to be honest, what a collection that man's got.
Has he?
Oh, dear. Yeah. You know what
it's actually, it's actually an obscene collection, I would say.
Yeah.
It's like OCD, is it?
No, it's not OCD, it's the quality of the merchandise. That he's got. There's a bit of me that thinks one day we should get the Excel Centre and get all the West Ham people that have got memorabilia.
Well, maybe we should get him on.
And stuff.
Maybe we should get him
to have a little setup, you know. I could rebuild my shed and people could come in and have a look. And because the worst thing about having stuff like that, I don't know if it's Marcus Johns has got a great collection as well, is that... You only get to see him in photograph. The bloke in Perth, who's probably got the best West Ham memorabilia collection I know, Perth Hammer. Yet, unfortunately, you got to go to the bleeding Perth to see it. It is a shame. You know, at the club, for the life of me, I think there's appetite now that the club would have a museum. All jokes aside, but hey ho. I'll just plot on doing what I do.
Cool. That's it for this week. I'm going back to sulk. I have been sulking. Nigel has been...
proud of England.
And Len has been...
working on a pitch.
Oh, what's happened to the Bucci boys? Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore.
They're Italian. Got it. Bucci.
Oh, celebrating.
More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.